Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. We welcome each one that is here, visitors. I'm glad for your presence. And Jennifer, maybe you feel like a little bit of a visitor. I think she's fresh back from the South, and so we're glad you can be back here with us as well. We're going to look into the Kingdom of Darkness part two, and it will be the final part, and I will explain a little bit more why in just a little bit. Brother Adrian and I were in a meeting some weeks ago, and one of the speakers, one of the preachers, said that there's an emphasis, and a wrong emphasis, calling things the Kingdom of Darkness or the Kingdom of Satan, and I was chided just a bit, but as I thought of it longer, he was talking somewhat against this thing of the push of two kingdom concept, because there is only one kingdom, and I agree with Brother John Mast. It was, some of us know John Mast, and I agree with that. There is only one true kingdom, but I believe that it's not wrong for us to call something a kingdom, a power, a kingdom, if it has servants and people that are serving that kingdom. So I'm going to keep it as the Kingdom of Darkness part two for this morning, and we're going to have just a little bit of review, because I was trained by a preacher years ago about having a review, but I'm going to keep it real brief because we've got another problem, and that is we might go over time. So I'm going to put up on the board what I did the last time, and it's just because I feel it is so, so important and so basic to this study. And while I'm doing that, Sean and Harrison are going to hand out some papers. Those papers are simply, my wife actually gave me this idea, even though she didn't know that I was going to do it, and that is the scripture that we're going to look at this morning, because I don't know if I ever preached that we didn't open our Bibles, but this is God's word printed here, and it's verses that I want to look at, don't want to overlook as we go along, and so we're going to be looking at these verses as we go. And now again, this little diagram is just for all of us to understand that God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity as we know it, are over all things, all powers. And underneath them is Michael, the archangel, the Bible talks about, and remember last time we talked about that. And then the other angel who was created good and fell was Lucifer. So I believe at one point the name Lucifer was actually a good name, but today we look at Lucifer as we would never name one of our children Lucifer, because it is an evil name, Satan. Then underneath Michael is the angels of God, which the Bible tells us are ministers that do his work. And underneath Satan or Lucifer is the angels of the devil, or we refer to them as demons. And underneath all those is far more. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And so the important truth I want us to understand is Satan has no more power than what God permits. And that is foundational to this topic of looking at the Kingdom of Darkness. I am sorry that it may not feel like an inspirational message this morning. We will end on a positive promise, but some of this is not necessarily what we would call inspirational. I was also admonished, and that's why we were going to end with part two. Not that there wouldn't be enough to go into part 10, but that's what I want you to read. I want to look here at Romans 16. Verse, the pages are number one on the front side. On page number one, Romans 16, 17, and 19. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And I just wanted to, basically that last phrase, we don't want to dig too deep, because it is, the digger you deep, the darker it becomes. And so that word simple, in one of our songs we sang this morning, we sang about being simple and sane. I don't know if you caught that or not, but I was looking for that, those kind of things. So the writer of that song, and I think it was Sister Christine that picked that song, the writer thought that we need to pray to be simple and sane and simple. Now, we are surrounded, I guess, is proper. I think I've heard this referred to already, that we live in the age of information. And so we are surrounded by information, and we can research and obtain truth, or at least a view, someone's view of almost anything, because of what we have at our fingertips and by way of research and ability to research things. And so we must be careful not to get swept away and claim ignorance, because we are in the information age where we can learn so much. That also has a ditch to it as well. There's so much filth and untruth available that is portrayed as truth. And remember, one of the terms of Satan is an angel of light, and we're going to talk about that more a little bit later on. And it is supposed to appear good and right to people that read. So we're only going to cover a few of the devil's methods, and there are many, hundreds perhaps. And I don't want to overstate this, but I spent probably the last month and a half in all my, not all, but pretty much of my spare time was in reading and researching, and so I will tell you that I feel like I know less in some ways than what I did before. Because as you read about a variety of things, and it opens up the door, you have more questions, and that opens up the door into more things. And so that's why I come back to this Romans 16:19, that it's simple concerning evil may be the best place. But we have no excuse for ignorance today. And depending on where we live in the world, it would make a difference how we view and understand this subject today about the kingdom of darkness. We are living in America, and America was founded on, our forefathers would have founded them, the Constitution on Christian principles. And there are countries in the world today that are definitely not that. And there's countries today where evil and darkness is very bold and out front. The U.S. is a dark country. Don't misunderstand that. Don't misunderstand me to say that the U.S. is a Christian nation. It is not. It is a very dark country. But there are countries around where darkness is much more in view. Just as sin and wickedness in America has become more bold and more unashamed in its practice, so I believe that practicing dark powers will become more and more noticeable, because it is around us. It is possible to get sucked into the wicked one's program. And what I mean by sucked in is, when you're using the sweeper, you get to that little piece of dirt, at least I used to do that, or magnets, and you just see how long it took till the object would just all of a sudden go right in it. And that's how the devil's program works. He wants to suck us in. There's many safety nets, but the brotherhood is one. And now you can look there at Ephesians 4. We're going to read those verses. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we often read, I often read Ephesians 4 and kind of stop there, or we look at 15 and 16 talking about brotherhood. But verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. I'm just looking at a few things in this passage. It says we can be tossed about. It says here, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And what that tossed about has to do with fraud of men or clever deception. And that is what is available outside of the truth, is the fraud of men, deception. And I will probably say that word till you're tired of me saying it, but deception is so rampant in the kingdom of darkness. And it says here that if we walk in the vanity of our mind, or I'm going to say if we walk in the vanity of our mind, which verse is that? I didn't even note it. Well, anyhow, the vanity of our mind it has to do with the moral depravity of our intellect. And so if you trust your mind, if we trust our own selves, it's actually we are morally depraved beings by nature, and our intellect will take us down a vain pathway. And we are ripe, and when we do that, when we follow our own mind, we are ripe candidates for the devil. If you trust in your own mind, trust in your own ability to sort things out, your depraved mind to guide you, you will be a ripe candidate for the devil. And these people are alienated, and that word means estranged from God. And that is because they got deceived in their hearts, and that it separated them and estranged them. And these people become apathetic, and they have no morals. And I'm basically paraphrasing a lot of these verses as I looked at Strong's and read the origins of these words. So we become estranged from God, our hearts are deceived, and we become apathy sets in, and we have no morals. I say we. People like this have no morals. And this way, they get this way gradually. This is not a hop, skip, and a jump, and you're there. It is rather a gradual process. Now, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that one verse, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world has blinded the minds. That word blinded means perception and intellect has been covered, has been shielded, has been blinded. The perception and intellect. And that's the purpose of the God of this world. And that, again, is the word we look at and we call it deception. If we walk in the vanity, I'm sorry, I got behind myself here. The God of this world wants to block the light at all costs, and that is his goal. Again, deception is to take the light and turn it into something for him, and he will block the light at all costs. Now, looking at Deuteronomy verses 9 to 12, and then again 20. Something is confusing. That verse 26, I'm not sure how that got tucked in there, but it does not belong there. We're going to read Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 13. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And you may have heard this said before. I don't think you're going to find this written in the Bible, but I believe it to be truth. And that is, when God calls something an abomination in the Old Testament, he never turns it around and calls it something good in the New Testament. So once an abomination with God, always an abomination. So these lists of things here are, he's told these children of Israel when they're going into the wicked territory that these are an abomination. An abomination is something regarded with disgust or hatred, an abhorrence, abominable. And so just to look at these words a little bit, he talks about divination. And divination is witchcraft. Observer of times is someone that practices magic. A sorcerer, and we'll talk about sorcerer in a little bit. Enchanter, the word enchanter means to hiss or whisper a spell, to foretell from signs. A witch is someone who practices magic or involved in witchcraft. A charmer is to fascinate or charm. And the rest of verse 11 talks about to conjure or call on evil spirits or to seek for answers. And we remember the man, the king Saul, how he went to talk with Samuel. He used witchcraft to do that. And there's many, many Bible verses we will not be reading that also support these things. Verse 13, we're called, he says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. We're called to perfection. And that means completeness, sincerely sound. So maybe sane and simple is actually scriptural. Without spot, undefiled, upright, whole. Those words all mean in he is calling us to be perfect. Without spot, undefiled, upright. All these were practices and conditions of the heathen. And what did God say there in verse 12? The Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So we know how contrasting or how opposite these practices were to the Holy Heavenly Father. Now, you know, what got me started, I think I explained this last time, last message, but when we had that Sunday school lesson in July, where we talked a little bit about the damsel that was possessed with the spirit of divination, and we got in discussion in the men's class about demon possession, and that kind of got me started on this. Demon possession was in the Bible as a result of the power of Satan, and his power is still in the world today. So I believe demon possession is still in the world today because it was not wiped out. I'm going to start reading here. We're just going to read down through all these Bible accounts, starting with Matthew 4 and then going the whole way through on the backside on Mark 16. We're just going to read them. Matthew 4:24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those who had the palsy, and he healed them. Mark 1. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Mark 9. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, saying, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. And there we get verse 26. And the spirit cried and ran him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now I know in a lot of ways these may have not been connected. But they're all accounts of the Bible, and there are more. And one of the blessings of the Bible is that by faith and evidence, we stand on it as truth. Today, there's things like misdiagnosis. And there's actually spiritual people today, Bible scholars today, that say this poor little boy there in Mark 9 was just an epileptic child. They said he was not actually demon-possessed. But we believe the Word of God to be truth. And that is one difference that we have when we look into God's Word versus when we evaluate and look at situations and stories that we see today or read about today. Demon possession is in the world today, and perhaps especially in America there is misdiagnosis. Maybe in other countries there is as well, but there's many illnesses that are labeled today and not actually taken for what they are. I'm just going to read you a quote. Well, it's a paragraph or two. And this is the Church of God International, and it's a topic that's entitled What You Should Know About Demon Possession. And one of the subtopics was the Devil's Advocates. Tens of thousands of Americans and Europeans are involved in witchcraft and sorcery and other forms of the occult. Scores of practical guides on these crafts have been published and sold and are readily available to almost anyone. Witches and sorcerers' conventions are held in open public facilities. Witch covens and occult shops in America and Europe number in the thousands. Witches and warlocks and their potions, spells, and rituals have been with us for years and have generally been regarded as harmless, though peculiar. But evidence of widespread satanic activity, occultism is in its most bizarre form, has surfaced in many areas of the United States. And the article went on to say, and I quote again, many people, including theologians from various denominational backgrounds, believe that evil spirits belong to the world of superstition and myth. Satan is nothing more than a literary device, a personification of evil. And demons are mental and emotional disorders such as schizophrenia, paranoia, and psychoneurosis. And that is false. It is more than just. The devil is more than just a superstition or a myth. I don't know if some of you brethren remember when we were on a little scouting trip here and we stopped outside the front of this church building and there was a tree out front. Some of you might remember there was a tree out by the road. I guess the reason I remember it is because an individual here, the pastor that was here, said it was breaking up the sidewalk. And he said there's a demon in that tree, and it just caught me off guard. And I was like, what is wrong with this man? There's a demon in that tree. Because it was roots kept breaking up the sidewalk. Listen, the devil focuses on God's territory. The devil does not focus on a tree. The devil doesn't care about the tree. The devil will always be at war with God's property, with God's territory. And we as Christians today, there's a difference between demon possession and demon oppression, and we don't have time, and I don't have the depth of thought to go into that, but there is a difference, and we Christians today can be and maybe and at times are affected by demon oppression, and that's battles in our minds, that's fears, discouragement, depression, extreme temptation, and you can list more things. So how does demon possession happen? I believe that at some point in their lives people subject themselves, surrender themselves to the devil, at which point after that happens they are nearly powerless to find deliverance on their own from demon possession. And the Mark 9 case bothers me because it seems pretty obvious to me that it was an innocent child that was involved and affected. And there are cases, stories that I've read that I believe to be fact, where through divination, spells have been cast on young children. which may or may not have been demon possession. And so I don't know how to explain Mark 9, but I believe it to be true. And one of the sources I read explained that young children may somewhat innocently subject themselves or be invited into darkness, especially through the gaming today. Video games, online gaming is a very popular source, I believe, of where innocent minds get subjected to the devil, and the devil finds his way into hearts through gaming. Another reason, other than time wasting, that video gaming is definitely out for the child of God. Gaming is popular today and horribly addicting, and is ruining many people, especially young people, at an early age. Harry Potter novels have been tagged with getting people involved with occultic powers. I think I used that word. It's not allowed. I don't think occultic is actually a word, but with occult powers. And there are many other dark connections that can be made. I was just listing a few. Exorcism is touched on in Acts chapter 19. We're going to read that. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Exorcism is the practice of expelling a demon. And Jesus was our perfect example of that, because we can read, and we have read, and there's more accounts where Jesus cast the devil out of individuals. It is a practice that's used in America and probably other countries today with varying effectiveness, and I believe that its effectiveness depends on the sincerity of the one practicing. Jesus told the disciples there in Mark 9, verse 29, that prayer and fasting is necessary, and I believe for real cases of exorcism to be successful, is prayer and fasting needs to be a part of it. There are stories you can read about godly priests and the men around that practice this casting demons out of possessed people. And there are accounts of hours of work and even days of work where they are locked up, so to speak, in a room. No one is eating or drinking, and they are working at casting out a demon out of an individual. There's times where it does not work because of the individual is not have a connection with the Heavenly Father. There's times that physical injury is a threat, and we just got done reading it here. That person leaped on them and left them wounded and naked. And that is truth in God's Word, and that is truth today. That can happen. Satan generally gets an entrance into a person in the form of a demon through a stronghold of some kind. It can be, but not limited to, sin, an addiction to continuing to sin, a wrong view of truth, unforgiveness, witchcraft, idolatry, pride. Remember, he is not only a roaring lion, he's an angel of light. And I don't think there may be people that are demon-possessed today that wanted to get there. But the devil comes as an angel of light. And it looks so... I couldn't help but think about when we talked about the warm, soft winds, or the soft winds in our Sunday school lesson. The devil can come to us in the soft wind instances. All right, we need to read Acts 8 and 13 and 1 Timothy 4. "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.'" See the deception there. "And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Acts 13, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew named whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about, seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, talking just a little bit about sorcery, is to practice magic. And there may be a fine line at times with people like that, whether they're actually demon-possessed or whether they just possess evil powers, and we don't have the time to get into that. But the Bible does differentiate between the two, because they're using the word sorcery here, and they did not call him as demon-possessed. It's not only people that can have that power. I think some of us are old enough, and maybe there's some that are too young to have ever heard of the Ouija board. But I remember it being talked about when I was a young person, and I was astonished to find out that the Ouija board was invented in the 1800s. It's that little device, it's that board, and there's a little device that the players put their fingertips or hands on it, and they ask this board question, and it points to numbers and letters and spells out answers. And it's still used today. You can still buy a Ouija board today, and it is only by satanic power that board works. It has nothing to do with idiometers that the body emits. And there's people out there that want to explain it away. The other one I remember plainly back in the mid and late 90s was the She Machine. Dwayne, do you remember that? I just remember it being talked about at Martin's, that She Machine. People lay on their back, put their ankles on this machine, it would rock them back and forth, their feet back and forth. That was another a product of the devil. When you see that, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, I need to try and keep hurrying, but that C-H-I, when you see that chi, however you say it, that has dark powers involved with it. These types of powers are likely affecting conservative Christians today more than anything else. And what I mean by that, these types of powers, is not the demon possession, but rather it is the tie to dark powers that are probably affecting conservative Christians today. In my study, I read a book that's written by a man that I know personally, and he himself was involved personally, and he's a conservative bishop today. He was involved in water witching, reflexology, and iridology, and he was delivered through the power of Jesus. And I want to say the reason, just briefly explain myself, the reason I believe that conservative Christians today are bent towards following these things is because we are created, I believe we are as beings are created to self-worship. And I don't mean that God made a mistake, but we are bent to take care of ourselves. And so why not? Why would we not want to take care of ourselves in the area of health, good health, sickness? Why would we not want to? Well, we do that. We pop an ibuprofen if we want to or need to. And I believe the devil might know that this may be one of the weakest links of the Christian in America, because we have the money, we have the things we need to obtain what we want. Who of us wants to die young? Who wants to be sick? What better place is there for the angel of light to attack than on our own health? And so that's why I'm saying caution, beware. This is probably, if he has not gotten us through the affluence of America, he will get us, tempt us to follow him through the health line of things. I believe that he comes as an angel of light, if you have not been prior involved. Now, the man that wrote this book, the book that I read, because of his involvement, I believe that perhaps the devil comes to him as a roaring lion, because he will not get sucked into the angel of light near as quickly, because he has had experience in reflexology and iridology. And iridology is a study of the irises, where they actually use a map and they look at different parts of the irises and tell you what's wrong. But the truth is that in the human body, the iris is probably the least changing thing in the human body. There's actually a school in New Jersey, and there may be more, where they actually use a machine that looks at the iris of the child to determine, for security purposes, to allow the child into the school or individual. It actually takes a picture of the iris. The iris is unchanged. The iris does not change with your health. It is. Iridology is a dark study, a dark curing method. We're going to talk a little bit about health practices. And again, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again and again. But just because something works doesn't mean it is right. There's many things that work today that have ties to the dark. Witchcraft practices here, and I'm going to read out of this book. Here's a list of practices that many people are involved in today and have connections to powers that are not from God. These practices either connect with the dark hand of witchcraft or occultic spirits through the origin, belief, meditation, curses, covenants, concepts, dilutions, and other subtle hidden ways. Homeopathy, water witching, iridology, applied kinesiology, reflexology, magnetic healing, acupuncture, acupressure, essential oils, aromatherapy, therapeutic touch, powwowing, pain drawing, Reiki, yoga, she machine, astrology, horoscope, radionics, pendulum swinging, holistic new age, some massage therapy, spirit opening books. This is not an all-inclusive list, as new practices and concepts keep coming into our culture and society. I remember the only time that I went to a chiropractor a number of years ago, and I was alarmed when I was laying face down in that bed. He was trying to do something to my back. I was alarmed by the noise that he made with his mouth when he was doing it. And I don't know what he was doing when he was trying to adjust my back, but I determined right then and there when I left that I was never going back. It was just something eerie. Something just felt eerie about it. I thought powwowing was an Indian thing. I'm going to read to you a little bit about powwowing. Powwowing, known as Braca in German, is a healing technique that uses Christianized magical spells. These spells involve speaking special words, including Bible verses, performing hand motions, and sometimes using strings, table legs, horse collars, and other physical objects. The powwow spells are actually pagan magical spells from different times and places that were taken into practice of the Catholic Church and then Christianized. To be Christianized means the names of pagan gods and angels and demons in the spells were replaced with the names of God, Jesus, and biblical angels. The words were changed, the true content of the spells remained the same, and so did the dark, demonic power behind them. When the Reformation of Anabaptists began, these Christianized healing practices and many other witchcraft elements were rejected by the Anabaptist forefathers. Also, want to talk about pain drawing, and there's many. I'm just pulling out these two or three. Pain drawing, which is called Reiki, or however you say it, R-E-I-K-I. Pain drawing is a fairly common practice among Amish and Mennonite people. Reiki or pain drawing is highly similar to therapeutic touch and some other energy therapies. Reiki was developed out of an experience from a Zen Buddhist monk in the mid-1800s, and it gives his name. The practice uses spirit guides for channeling what is known as pain or energy. In pain drawing, the hand or body are used to sense where the pain or some sort of health problem. A practitioner goes into a meditative state and then passes hands 2 to 4 inches above the patient's body with direct contact. This supposedly allows the practitioner to feel the problems in the patient's energy field. Some claim to be able to feel pain, heat, cold, tingling, pulsating feeling, or even some colors and light. The practitioner may then send either cool or hot energy into the patient to balance out the problem, or will draw the pain into the practitioner's body. Well, I could read more. Remember the time years ago that a man told me that he was able to touch one of his family members with his hand if they had a stomach ache, and it would come into his body, and eventually he would get the stomach ache, and the child would no longer have it. And I didn't think much of it then, but I think a whole lot different about it now. I couldn't figure out why. Anyhow, that is pain drawing. That is not using a power that was given to us by God. Essential oils and aromatherapy are part of pseudoscience, and pseudoscience consists of statements, beliefs, or practices that are claimed to be both scientific and factual, but are incompatible with scientific method. These things, again, it may work, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. This is where essential oils fall many times. I'm just going to read a brief advertisement about essential oils. Inhalation. Essential oils are most known for their odor, hence the term aromatherapy. Inhaling essential oils stimulates any of more than 1,000 receptors in the nasal cavity, which transfer signals through the olfactory bulb to the limbic system, the center for our emotions. From there, they can affect the autonomic, nervous, endocrine, and immune systems. When essential oils reach the lungs, they pass from alveoli to the capillary blood vessels. Once in the bloodstream, they are small enough to pass through the blood-brain barrier. Inhaling certain essential oils may improve mood and emotions, support sleep quantity and quality, increase focus or alertness, and or reduce feelings of stress and occasional anxiety. For example, there's evidence that chamomile oil has anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer properties and may help with, listen to this, it may help with symptoms of the common cold, cardiovascular conditions, colic and diarrhea, eczema, gastrointestinal conditions, hemorrhoids, osteoporosis, sleep quality, diabetes, wound healing, anxiety. Chamomile may even boost quality of life in cancer patients. This is things that people believe in. And guess what? They work because they believe in them. And I'm not here to say that all oils that you buy are wrong. I'm just saying beware. And I can't emphasize enough, caution. Claims that deal with aromas for the mind and thinking are objectionable. An example, sweet orange oil fragrance may lift your anxiety. That's what it's going to say. It may say on sweet orange oil. Some terms that are especially dangerous are holistic. If you see something that says holistic, stay away from it. Pertaining to the whole. And when it pertains to the whole, it's talking about mind and body. Words like chai, yin, yang, zen, and there's some others that refer to ancient Egyptian and Chinese culture. Products that claim to energize are definitely out. When any one of the following words is used, it should raise a caution flag in our minds. Energy, universal energy, healing energy, life energy, life force, vital force, magnetic energy, electricity, bioenergy, frequency, body balance, enlighten, inspire, energize, holistic, or new age. Questionable practices often focus on any of the above. Just what do people mean when they say your energy is imbalanced or there is an energy blockage? What exactly are they talking about? Let me expose some of the very wrong beliefs concerning energy that comes from Buddhist, Taoist, and Hindu religion that some of God's children are reaching out to for healing and help. And I'm sorry I'm taking so much time, but we will be done shortly. I just feel it's important that we get over some of this. Number one, here are five key wrong beliefs taught about this so-called energy. Number one, energy is an unseen life force, a spirit called chi, ki, or prana. It flows through the whole universe, including humans and other creatures. Some believe that it flows even through non-living objects, and that even physical things are made up of this energy. The term God and energy are interchangeable. Number two, energy flows freely. Energy flowing freely creates health. The human body supposedly has channels called meridians, although they're not proven scientifically, through which this energy flows. When the energy flow through these meridians, it is blocked or becomes imbalanced. Disease comes. Number three, energy cannot be seen or measured, but it can supposedly be felt by certain people, and many others can learn to feel it. This certainly follows the concept that it is a spirit and not a scientifically proven science. But what spirit is it? Number four, skilled workers using various treatments can supposedly manipulate this energy and its flows to reestablish health. Number five, since everything in the universe is supposedly made of the same thing, everything is actually God. God is not a him. In this way of thinking, God is in it, and no one person is any more or less God than anyone else. This is a great blasphemy that the creature and the creator are somehow just one and the same. And I'll stop there. Again, we need to beware and we need to be cautious. The other thing I was astonished by some time ago, a number of years back, I saw someone with a motion sickness band on. You might see people with it on, they wear it around the wrist. I think it's three fingers width from the top. Right there is, supposedly, it puts pressure on the neocon point, if I'm saying it right, which is the P6 point, which is the nausea pressure point. And all I'm saying is that has connections to acupressure and acupuncture, and they are rooted in darkness. Again, I say beware, be cautious. You may one day wake up and find yourself entrenched in pagan practice and wonder how it happened. And how can you find deliverance? And all I'm going to say is, talk to someone and renounce these powers. It's the only way to get free of them with the blood of Jesus. He freed so many people. We have facts where he freed so many people, and he wants to free everyone with these connections. I'm just going to read in closing these verses that we have here. Nehemiah 9, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. And I don't know, Reynolds read that about the sins affecting the third and fourth generation. I don't understand generational sin, and we're not going to talk about that. But notice how this ends up. When they confess their sins, they worship the Lord their God. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There is deliverance. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Trinity is still above all, and may God help us to seek out truth in all areas. And I think for the sake of time, we're going to stand for our closing prayer and our dismissal. Let's stand together.